Brandy, let's get started. Give us an overview of this new collection of Halloween books for kids that you've chosen for 2019.
Okay, well, we have six, and I always say there are kind of two versions of Halloween. There's the fuzzy, zany, Muppet kind of Halloween that's for the younger children that you don't want to scare them too much. And then they get older, and it sort of gets PG-13, so it's kind of gory and creepy and ghoulish, and I want to be scared. And so we start out with the sort of the Muppet Halloween, and then we build up to, say, 13 and older. And there is something for everybody.
Sounds good. Let's jump right in with the books. Our first one is for that beginning reader. It is Laugh Out Loud, Halloween Jokes, Lift the Flap, and it's by Rob Elliott.
It is, and some of you might be familiar with Rob Elliott. He has a series, a very popular series called Laugh Out Loud Jokes. So this is his Halloween version, and this is a version that he did specifically for the youngest readers. So I have to test you on some of these. These are what people call dad jokes, I think, now. So why wouldn't the monster eat the clown?
Why?
He tasted funny. Okay, one more. Okay, what do you get when you cross a vampire with a snowman?
I don't know. What?
Frostbite. So you go through the book, and on the left side is the question, and on the right side is the answer, and you lift the flap. And one of the reasons that I like this book is because this is one, and I can tell you, I will guarantee you that if you're reading this aloud to your children, they are going to say again, again, again. And you are going to maybe get a little bit tired of this, but you're going to play along. They're going to tell these jokes to their friends. They're going to tell these jokes to their families. But then they're going to want to read it to you also. And that's kind of the neat thing about it when it's written for some kids that are this young. Maybe I say 4 to 8, but, you know, if they were older, they can even read it. And so the jokes are a really good way to get people into it, especially if they're reluctant readers. Somebody that you're trying to get to read that maybe is not into reading books from front to back and spending a lot of time. You can just sort of drop into this one on whatever page you want to.
All right, let's move on to our next book. It's Pick a Pumpkin by Patricia Tott.
This one is a rhyming book, and it tells you, it's very instructive. It concentrates on one particular aspect of Halloween, which is turning a pumpkin into a jack-o'-lantern. It's called Pick a Pumpkin, and it starts at the patch. So some of the very first words are, now brush or wipe your pumpkin clean, rub it smooth, and make it gleam. And if people are worried about, oh, it's about carving pumpkins and the kids are so young, it talks about using plastic saws. It talks about if you're going to light the candle, you need to get an adult to do it. It says it in better words than that because it's rhyming and sweet. I'm just telling, but this is what it instructs you to do. And the reason I like this book, too, is because it's about community. It's about not just going from door to door trick-or-treating, but celebrating with the people in the community. Like when you make cider and you share it, or you're carving all your jack-o'-lanterns and people go up and down the street. And so the illustrations of the book reflect that. They're very warm. There's lots of families moving down the street together. And I just think that's a nice message for the season.
And looking at the illustrations, which are by Jarvis, it reflects a very diverse neighborhood.
It absolutely does. It's a very realistic neighborhood. Jarvis is a one-word artist, sort of like, well, he's an artist who does illustrations for books, but it's sort of like the Madonna or the Beyonce idea. He just goes by one name. You didn't forget to say a first or a last name. His name is Jarvis. And as we talked about before, I would say the illustrations that he created for this book, which are sort of chalk and pencil enhanced with digital color, I'd say they're frameable. I mean, they're really beautiful fall, autumnal settings.
And you wanted to note about the diversity part. It's there without an intent, necessarily.
Yes, that is not the storyline of the book. It is just presented as this is a neighborhood. These are the people who live in there. They all happen to look different. It's never commented upon. It's just presented as fact. And that's what we need. This is a fact of our life.
All right. Next book. And we're moving up a little bit.
I would say now we're moving up to the 6 to 9-year-old set. And we'll talk about that age thing a little bit more. This is Give Me Back My Bones by Kim Norman. And it is also a rhyming book, but totally different than Pick a Pumpkin. It jumps right in. What's happened is we're at the end of a stormy night, and a skeleton has had its bones scattered all over the ocean floor, and it wants to put itself back together. So obviously this is a suspension of disbelief kind of book. But I will say that the skeleton, the reason I think that you could have it for 6 to 9-year-olds is the skeleton is not menacing. He has a bow tie. He has this really friendly grin. So he's sort of zany instead of scary. And he's saying things. He's speaking directly to the reader, and he's saying things like, Now I need my gnaw bone, my chicken chomping saw bone. I'll starve without my jawbone. I miss my mandible. And so some people might read this and think, well, it has words in there like mandible and scapula, so maybe that's too hard for the kids that age to understand. It's not so, because for one thing, you have the illustrations, and for another thing, the context of the words of the regular text of the book tell you what they mean. So like for clavicle, it says, collar me a collarbone, the way down where I swaller bone, a handy parrot holler bone. So where the parrot sits, you know, the bone where the parrot sits. So I think that it's really interesting for that. And also Kim Norman is known for her really, really good children's books. She has two more. One is The Bot That Scott Built, and one is Pug Puddle. If you look at this and you think that you really like this Halloween book, but you like her style a lot, then you can look for those other two titles. And that's always something in a holiday book that I look for, because you want to find stuff you can take away that works year round.
Now, continuing to step it up, let's move on to Ghoulia.
Ghoulia is a zombie. She has barrettes in her hair. And again, Ghoulia is not scary. She's not a brain-eating zombie. She likes pumpkin soup sprinkled with spiders. So we're not talking about something that's too gory here. And Ghoulia lives in a totally Halloween world. She has an aunt named Auntie Departed. She has an uncle Misfortune. She has a dog named Tragedy and a cat named Shadow. And so the idea of this book, it's called Ghoulia and the Mysterious Visitor. And all of her friends show up at dinner time and they all have this invitation saying, Ghoulia, you invited me. Well, she didn't send them out. So there's this mystery, dun, dun, dun. You know, who sent these invitations? Why are all these people showing up? And by the way, Auntie Departed, who would normally make the meal, is somehow not there. She has disappeared. And as they look for her, other children, dun, 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 disappear. So it's got sort of a mystery to it. And the thing about this book is it's the second in a series. So if you like it, it's by Barbara Cantini. You can look for the first one, and it's called Making Friends Can Be Scary. It's also set in Halloween. It was released last fall. But again, that's a message that can be used all around. Making friends is a scary kind of thing to approach. And so the Halloween setting is sort of what makes it seasonal now. But these messages, again, could be good for any time of the year. The one about Ghoulia and the Mysterious Visitor is about this cousin that complains all the time, and it's about how to be a good sport.
And now this book is moving into chapter reading, you say.
It would be. If you have a child who's saying, usually around age 8, they start saying, I'm reading chapter books. I'm reading a beginning chapter book. This is the book that they would want to read. It's not actually divided into chapters, but it's about that length and size and format. So they would feel very comfortable with it.
All right. Let's move to the next book. It is The Big Book of Monsters. It has a mummy on the cover. And this is for ages 12 and up.
It is, and this is the subtitle of this is The Creepiest Creatures from Classic Literature. So we're talking about things like Frankenstein's monster, Dracula, Medusa. So we've got, you know, we've got a global view here. There's an outline of the history of dragons through Greek mythology. So when I mention all those topics that are in there, it sounds like it might be a little too hard, but this is published by Workman Publishing, and they are known for presenting detailed, very deep, complicated information in a very readable format. Workman Publishing, who published this, and it absolutely works. So there's maybe 2 pages, maybe 4 pages, maybe 6 pages about each one. And what I think is kind of neat about this is it kind of gets you, it kind of grabs you into the topic. Like, for instance, Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein's Monster on a dare during a really spooky night when she and a bunch of other writers were kind of stuck with nothing else to do. And so if your youngster is reading this when they get to high school and they start reading these books like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and they start reading Frankenstein's Monster, they're going to remember this trivia. And so it sort of sets the stage later. I'm all about sowing the seeds for future use.
And you say the vocabulary, we're stepping up the vocabulary.
We are. For instance, in the entry about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, one of the boxes in there is this neat thing that happened. In 1911, the New York Times uncovered a review of this book that was written by an anonymous prisoner. So it sort of has the prison lingo in there. And so there's a guide to what the prison lingo means, but it's sort of kind of fun to figure it out. It says, this one is a hair raiser. It'll give you the horrors in a jiffy. The doc has wheels in his sky piece. In other words, his brain is really churning. So it's kind of got that lingo from there. So you're right, it is for older people, but it's very, very palatable and sort of cool and funny.
All right, and our last selection is for readers 13 and older, and it is entitled Ghost, 13 Haunting Tales to Tell.
Yes, this is the creepy one. This is the one that has the storylines in it like the ones that you tell around the campfire. This is the one where the finger is tapping on a mirror. This is the one where the woods come alive and then the trees have eyes and they seem really menacing and they're saying these scary things to the people who are walking through the woods. And then there's a basement door that's blocked by a brick wall so thick that it stifles the screams. So you recognize these tropes. You know these, right?
Yeah, sounds like a lot of movies that we've seen.
Absolutely. But what's interesting about this book is it is not cliche. It has those situations. Like I said before, there's no chainsaw machine shop in a garage or anything like that. But we do have these deep, dark woods and a very neat premise. The people who wrote it are illustrators and animators from Hollywood. And so they do have that sort of movie background. So they really know how to ratchet up
the scariness.
They know how to ratchet that up and really draw you in. So it's a real page turner.
And you mentioned the illustration for this book, but all of them, this is what they all have in common.
They do. I think when you're talking about books for kids, especially the picture books, obviously, from ages 4 to, say, age 9, they've got to be good. They have to hold their own. They need to contribute to the story, like the one we talked about that mentioned the mandible. You're not going to understand what that is without a little help, and the pictures are the help. So not only are they helpful, but like we said, some of them are just on their own beautiful art.
As we close, Brandy, talk about the benefits of reading at Halloween. This is not just fun. It is fun, but there are some benefits to it.
There are, for those of you out there who have students in school who need extra credit or they're working on those AR points because they get extra credit at school if they read books outside the classroom and you're always struggling to find them, or if you need some to find, then also these are ones that you can send to school. These are school safe books for the age appropriate audiences that we mentioned. So you can send them to school. They can share it with their friends. And also, I'm the book lady, so I'm always preaching about why it's a good thing to read. But, studies show, especially with young children, that if you sit them in your lap and you have physical contact with them when you're reading, it aids in the formation of the memory. So don't you want, when you think back or when they think back later on and they're thinking about how much fun they had dressing up and going to trick-or-treat door-to-door and all that, don't you want reading and books to be a part of that? I think we do.
Brandy, thank you for the reading recommendations for Halloween.
You're welcome.